The first piece is a piece of Mesher Chochma. So Mesher Chochma is a fascinating sefer. Have you ever learned the sefer?
If you've taught it to me.
Okay. So Mesher Chochma, it was written by a person named Rameir Simcha, a Kayan, from the city of Dvinsk. So Dvinsk was blessed with two extraordinary Tumi Chochmim that were the Rabbanim there. Rameir Simcha was the Rav of the Litvisha Kehila, and the Rogachover was the Rav of the Chsidisha Kehila. Rogachover was Lubavitcher. So that, they were the two Gdarlim in the city, were Meir Simcha and the Rogachover. So Meir Simcha was a Goyin Adir. Man was a Goyin Adir, tremendous Talmud Chacham. He wrote a sefer on Chumash called Meshach Chachma. Meir Simcha Kayin, that's the Meshach. He also wrote a sefer called Ur Sameach. All the yeshivas, or Sameach yeshivas, are named after his sefer, and then some of them connected to the family. So Ur Sameach is on Rambam. It's a very, very well used, well known sefer. Answered different Rambams, etc. He wrote Meshach Chochma first. His father would not let him publish it because people think he's just like a darshan. But there's pieces over here, the lump of some of these pieces. You know, some of them are hashkafa pieces. Some of them are not. Like, you know, he's mazur, like, why the Torah uses this word? Because that's this din over there in Kachim. You know, like, he wasn't a baldarshan. He was a tamachafa. But in the Sefer, there are multiple places where he has major hashkafa pieces, which he says in context of explaining, you know, psukim, etc. Very, very yesodistic pieces. So this is one of them. So the end of the parasha, it says that Klaisel was nitzmad l'Baal Pa'ar. Klaisel connected to Baal Pa'ar. And so you should go kill the people which are nitzmadim l'Baal Pa'ar. Okay. And Mesis and Tona, Kitzomet al Yedei Ha'isha. Kitzomet is like a bracelet. It's something which is like attached. It says by Elazar, Eliezer, when he came to Rivka, he put like bracelets on her hands. So it's the same word. So the Medrash says it means like the tzomet al yad isha, like the bracelets on somebody's hands. So the pasuk contrasts those who were killed, hanitzmidim l'Baal Pa'ar. This is a pasuk actually in Parshas Veschanan. Everybody went after the Zohar Barashim killed the Nitzmanim al Torah. Atem adveikim Hashem Elokeichem chayim kol chamayim. That's the contrast between the psukim. So them, it's only language of tzomid, but you it's language of davuk. The language of davuk is a much stronger language, you know, glued together, attached, than the lashon of just like the tzomid, which is on the hand, but it's not glued onto the body. Okay, so that's what Morris says. That's the contrast. Now he wants to explain what the idea that the Morris is saying. So we're good so far. Yeah. Again, the pshat like this. The Tanakh Gemara Erevin Samach Tesa. The Gemara Erevin says like this. It says the pasuk says by bringing karbonis that a person is an adam kiyakiv adam mikem. The more darshan is mikem lo kuchem prat lamur. Mina behema lohavi bnei olam hadoyim lo behema b'kan amar mekabim meperusha yisrael. So we accept karbonus from a perusha yisrael. We do not accept karbonus from a mumer. So why? What's the difference between a mumer and a perusha yisrael? Perusha yisrael is a person who's negligent and never does averus, allows himself to be pulled into averus. So he's doing tremendous averus. But he's not a mumer. So how do you define whether a person is a mumer or not in regards to this inyan? So let's explain that. So this is like the layer inside the layer. The taiva yesh of behem. An animal has taiva. Can be taiva sachilo, taiva mishkol. It has taiva of eating for copulation with another animal. Taiva steam is it likes pleasure. Here it is. This is not part of the seichel, which is a gift from heaven, the higher levels of intellectual thought. But it's the natural processes of the body, include in them the element of taiva.
What's mishkal?
Mishkal is lying with a woman. So the Chazal use a lashon that avera comes, she's called a soita, because the lashon of shaita, it's foolish. The person is pashut, it's what they're doing is shtus, it's foolishness. He has a ruach shtus in him. He also ma'isa behema, l'chein karbono, sarim, Chazal use a lashon that her act was an act of ma'isa behema, lying with a man. And therefore, that she brings a carbon sarim, which is made, we normally get fed to animals. It wasn't the seichel which was making this decision over here, because seichel does not have a desire for physical things. So the decision that the person made to do an act of physicality is not rooted in the seichel. So there must be that this is a part of the body. So it's like a behemoth. So the korban is a korban of sarim, which is a ma'aseh behemoth. So a person who either worships Avodah Zarah, or a person which has incorrect hashkafas, that's not because he has a type which is causing him to do it. He's in the word nefesh, the way we use the lashon of the neshama. Means that his seichel, which is, that's the keli, which is the expression of the neshama, is connecting into these sins. Shatoyos Hashibush benefesh, the place where people are having the incorrect hashkafas, understanding, is in the higher levels of nefesh. The Chenev Rezar Mitzar from the Ma'aseh. The Morah says that by all averas, the person contemplates doing an avera, the person does not punish him as if he did the avera, with the exception of Avodah Zarah, because Avodah Zarah is rooted in the thought process. So the place where he had the thought was in the thought process. So it's already, he's already connected to the world of Avodah Zarah. By thinking I'm going to do a Avodah Zarah, it's like you did a Avodah Zarah already. You're already allowing that's an option. You're already allowing that thought process. Whereas an Avera which is rooted in the rule of Taiva, a person contemplating that he's going to go do a Taiva, is nothing to do with the reality, because the place where the expression of the Taiva is in the physical expression, which never took place. So the place where the person is really connecting to that issue is not in the thought process. It's the ruach shtus, where the mind is not thinking, which is what does it. That he never got to that. Ki nefesh hamachshava hu echem iskulo yisav. The ability to think is rooted in the world of the nefesh. Ukshiritim hamachshavtoi hu chokik boi. So once he made that thought, it's in him already. So I mean, there's a fascinating question. Rav Arya Kaplan has an essay which he talks about where is the ani of the person? Like, where is your ani? Where would you point to take your ani? Your heart? Your head? Like, where is the being of the person? Where is it really rooted in your body? He says, right, so we think it's in the heart, we think it's in the mind, whatever. He says, so the ability to think that's us. That's in the mind. So he says, but we have people who've had these near-death experiences where they're brain dead for a period of time, and they're still thinking, and they have recollections of conversations, and they're able to repeat things which have happened. They're all fully aware. So what's that? So there's something called the neshama. So he says, imagine the following question: if they could do a brain transplant, so when the person who's given the brain wakes up from the surgery, so whose memories does he have? Does he have his own memories? Does he have memories of the fellow's brain he took? Like, all the things that he learned how to do, like, where is it? So he says, you know, they don't know. But what we're saying is that the place where the thought process of the person takes place is not in the brain. It's above the brain. That's the concept called nefesh, which exists in the person. Not that the doctors necessarily would subscribe to that thought process, that the metaphysical by them is not very real. So the place of the person's thought process takes place in the nefesh. So Mashiach and Averish, Mitzah, Nefesh, Mitzah, they're part of the physical life force. The thought process is not where that's expressed. It's expressed in the physical expression of it, which didn't take place. The person who's insulting Hashem, cursing Hashem, the sin is in it referring to the nefesh. It's the world of thought. Right? He has an attitude, the wrong attitude vis-a-vis Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's thought process, and that's where it is. So it's rooted. It's going to be seared into his being once he has that thought. Okay. So Parsha Yisrael is a person who sins. The problem is, the reason why they sin is because they're allowing their Bahamias part, their physicality, the basic life force which allows a person just to exist and has time, but he's allowing that to direct. Okay. Because Seichel can't overpower Taiva. But Taiva is a shaloh, ki behema. Shein lo seichel is garba la Taiva. So the behema doesn't have seichel, so it does. So that person can bring a korban. Of a mumr shaybet of a rezora, see, he's understanding mumr means a person who has deus meshuboshes. He has wrong hashkafas, or he doesn't think he believes in a rezora, whatever it is. The root of the problem is in the mind, is in the thought process. She says, "Ain't a boy me see, but nefesh abahami. Who mashubas besichloi? Who adam muta? So he's a person which is mistaken. Nismai b'kabonis. He can't bring kabonis. She ain't no adam kechem. The pasuk says, adam ki yarkim kabon. So he, you have to be like adam. Well, this person's not like adam." The average Adam, the Adam that the Torah is referring to, is a person who knows what is right, might have difficulty with implementation, but that doesn't take away his shame Adam. Why? Shechelik Adam hu anefesh. So, in a double nefesh a Yisraeli. So this person whose nefesh, which means his thought process, is meshubash, he's not kachem. So zal darshim ikem, they have to be like from amongst you, Klai Yisrael. This guy's not amongst Klai Yisrael anymore, because he's. If we look at the defining element of Adam is the thought process, and he has the wrong thought process, so he's lacking in a certain sense being part of Klai Yisrael. Whereas the person who's got the mind screwed on straight has problems with implementation, and he gets drawn into taiva and doesn't control himself and sins, but the definition of nefesh adam is there still, so he can bring a korban.
That's interesting.
Okay, now ulam b'bal pa'or, because I'll describe the the process, because I'll describe, was not an intellectual process. The Kleisel came to the belief, they believe in Baal Peor. That's not what happened. Because I'll say what happens, that the Kleisel was allowing himself to mingle with the Goyim. And they came, and the Goyim came and set up tents near Kleisel went out. Shidifzal Kubi went into the tents. But Yalod the Mashke Sayayin, there was a young woman over there who would give him wine to drink, to the point where he became intoxicated. She was pretty. Listen to me. He wanted to have relations with her. If he didn't tell us, she would take the one of Zorah, If you want to have the relations, you first have to do the Maisa Par. So it wasn't like he came to this intellectual decision, I believe in this Avodah Zarah. He had a taiva, and he says, you know, the only way you can have your taiva is if you do the Avodah Zarah. Okay, do it. The Avodah Zarah has nothing to do with the mind.
Right.
Okay. So Chazal Darshan, that Pinchas said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, "Aleila Yipul Chavtal Elif Yisrael." For this, you're killing our Klal Yisrael. 24,000 people should die for this. I mean, what do you mean? They did it for Azor. Like, what's his argument? Right? He says because Shem Shemush Ben Nafshay Halo Avoyna Ben Nafshay. If the deus Avodah Zarah normally is the deus wrong, so that means the nefesh is not normal, is correct anymore. The Jewish nefesh is lacking. So yes, that person is now going to be severed from being part of Klal Yisrael. So yes, he has to die. I get that. Even the Nasi wasn't able to overcome his Yetzer Hara, the desire. I mean, Tagbaris Hatayim Boa Benazar. You can him a Yisrael. So they're still Jewish. They haven't lost their right to be called a Jew. They're still part of Klal Yisrael. So I'll say Yiplu. So that therefore, Pinchas says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Chazal used a lashon that he spoke strongly to Kadosh Baruch Hu, like, it's not a reason to kill 25,000 people from Klal Yisrael for this thing. It's rooted in the world of Taiva. Okay. So therefore the puzzle describes that the process of Klal Yisrael being involved in Pa'or was called like a Tzomit al Yadish. It's not really attached. It's not really part of the person. It's not glued on. It didn't really become part of the defining element of the person. Just sitting on your wrist, and you can take it off. And it's a very good marshal for the world of taiva. Because the place where you become dovek into something is in the world of das and understanding. Your dveikim b'Hashem Elokecha. Your dveikus is not in Avodah Zarah. Now, v'chia seichel gavra l'taiva, and the Klal Yisrael, the ones who did not do the Avodah Zarah, even with all the taiva, were able to find a way for their seichel to overcome the taiva, because the end of the seichel is a stronger reality than taiva. The difference is, like to say a different piece, that taiva works with the process of not thinking. The Yetzer Hara's real avoider is don't think. So Mishal Sharm says that the first step of the Yetzer Hara's goal, he realizes, is if you think, he loses. So he makes things happen quickly. So you shouldn't have time to think. That should mean. So now he was writing this like 400 years ago, like, you know, like, but nowadays, you know, like, just the thought process of, you know, not 400, I'm sorry, 300 years ago, right? The thought process, like, things come to you so quickly, the person already reacts before he has time to really think. The physical time it can click in, and the person gets drawn into something. But a person at which that's the speed of that things are happening nowadays is scary. It makes the Mishal Sharm's, you know, process look like it's the what do you call it, the tortoise and the hare. Like the, you know. Me Taivo can never say Yisrael is Suga Bashashanim. So the Rashi gave us a Suga, a fence which we can make with roses. That's Sukkah Moshe Shoshanim. As the Marshal gave us Klal Yisrael, that describes Klal Yisrael, Chazal say, that Klal Yisrael found a way to, what's this roses are, thorn bushes are not really a barrier. Anyone can walk, you can walk through them if you want. You don't walk through them because you made a decision to look at them, and their value as something that you can look at is more valuable to you than getting to the other side. It's a thought process. So a person's in a state of just taiva, so the thing is, the way he jumps over and he walks through, and that's it. Because it doesn't really stop a person. What stops a person is the process of stopping to think. Because once a person starts to really think, he says, I really don't want to do this. They'll say that the Bereshit put the kever of Moshe not in Eretz Yisrael, but near where the story happens about Pa'or, to be a kapara and klai yisrael from about Pa'or. Because Moshe Rabbeinu represents the ability of Seichel to overcome the taiva. Okay. Okay. The next piece really is a different point. It's a gorgeous piece. Let's see it. Okay. So the Moshe Rabbeinu gave over the responsibility of punishing those who had been involved in Chet Egel to Sheva Levi. Over here, we don't find that he gave it over to Sheva Levi. He gave it to the Sanhedrin. Pinchas, who's from Sheva Levi, yes, did this. You know, but in general, the Pesukim say very clearly that they gathered the Shoftei Yisrael and they judged the people.
By Baal Peor.
So the simple pshat is, now that the Shoftei which have been appointed.
Beautiful.
Okay, but if he wants to say like this, Melokeim Baal Peor, Ki Ozkar Hukdashu L'Shem Yisborach L'Avodas HaMishkan. The Levim already were designated for Avodas HaMishkan at that point in time. So if they're going to be the ones which are going to take the role into their hands, the Man Hashem going and punishing the people of Sefer Vodazara, they're going to give it over, because either you go to the Mishkan or you go to Balpur, the two Vodazaras. There's two avoiders. There's the avoider of the Shemaim Emes. So they, in a certain sense, can be looked at as being the Negev, because when they don't come to the Mishkan, they go to the other place. Shemru Shavur Atzim of Oisim came. She made Mikdash and Levi Vekoyan. But therefore, below Yikir Hashem is that. So when the Levi would be the one to do that, people will misinterpret it, and it's going to lack the Kiddush Hashem Shemayim, which you want to come out of it. Loikain Be'ego, Shoz Hoyamalosim Kisharam, they had no role in the Mishkan yet, Levi, and before Chet Egel. So what's in the gate to them? The rock of Shem Shemayim Kiva. There it was obvious that the reason why they did it is because the Shem Shemayim. Karmel Harmel Aviv, Kishomer Mesecha, fine. You're talking to Meshum Zeb, but Pinchas, Shalomis Kayin, because I'll say that Pinchas was not, that if you look at the Psukim, Pinchas was alive already, but Pinchas wasn't the Kayin yet. The Pesuk talks about Nadav and Aviyu and Lazar B'Somer. So, and the Mishnah says, I'm going to give him Bris Kul and Asoilam. What was until now? He wasn't a Kayin yet. When he's Kayin, Pinchas, Atcher Hargul Zimri. He only became a Kayin when he killed Zimri. So it comes out, so we have the same story taking place, that the only member of the Aaron's family who would have a right and have the ability to address this issue would be Pinchas. Because everybody else is in the Gebed of her. Because it's affecting their service in the Mikdash. Okay, so now Chazal say that Meir Mises and that's Lashon of Chazal. A person would rather die 100 deaths than deal with the pain of jealousy. That's Lashon of Chazal used. So Pinchas watched everybody else. Anybody who was born afterwards was born from the families of Elazar and Issachar. Their children were Kohanim. So his younger brothers are Kohanim. He's not. This is their 40 years in the Midbar. This is the end of the Midbar. Right? He hasn't done Avodah once. His younger brothers have done Avodah. Right? So he's tremendously jealous. And now then comes this Avodah Zorah, which would create, like, as it were, a different option. So you don't have to go to the Beis HaMikdash and watch my brothers do the Avodah, not me. And instead, he steps up and protects the Mikdash. That's clearly the Shem Shemayim. You can't hergish a tivi yachpas asher yisbalt the ma'ala sakuna. L'chein yasiyoso hoya l'shem Shemayim. The Asher Omer k'nele l'kov. The pasuk clearly testifies that he did it just l'shem Shemayim. L'shem Shemayim is baruch b'vav. Okay. Okay, then he says, one last thought on that idea. Okay, so it's really a separate point. But to go back to the first point, right, so the first point that he says is that when a person has to understand, when a person gets fachapt in the world of a taiva, that's not redefining who he is. His hashkafas are correct, his understanding of Torah is correct. And he's customary a carbon, etc. There's a state where he's not thinking properly, and therefore he allowed himself to be pulled into the world of type. But it does not redefine him as being somebody who's outside of the pale of Yiddishkeit. Deus Meshuboshes, where a person is contemplating Deus Meshuboshes and allowing himself to think like that, etc., he's redefining himself. Now, I'm not saying logically he's not a Jew anymore. He is a Jew, right? But he's putting himself outside of the outside. He's affecting his neshama, because in the world of these things directly are connected. The power of machshava is rooted in the neshama. So you have an understanding why. There is a tremendous care is given anytime a person is getting involved in Deus Meshuboshes. Right? Am I allowed to read about a philosophy of something other than Yiddishkeit? So I'm like, what's wrong? You believe what you believe in, you know what you believe in, and you read this and just say, oh, it expands your mind. It makes you aware of what else is going on in the world. Right? It could be that it's in the rice.
Really?
Sazarach by the Vavchem is Zuminus. So Pashas, by the Chinuch formulates the Yisur. Anytime a person is allowing himself to become knowledgeable about, unless it's the purpose of being able to protect or teach and save people from the Deus Meshuboshes, you're not allowed to do it. So I'm not being sorcerer after my life. It says because the nature of these things is, the Mora says that once they're there, they're there. So the Meshech Chochma is saying, because Adarab, the whole place that they take place is in the world of the Nesham. That's where the Kreich of Seichel comes from. So by that, just reading it, you already put it in. So when are you allowed? I'm not getting involved. And you'll ask your local Orthodox rabbi what's awesome. Yeah, you know my line already about that. Okay. Let's keep repeating the same joke. Okay. Okay, the next page over here is also a piece of the Meshech Chochma. Somebody was malakit from the Meshech Chochma, different pieces on different topics. That Second line. Came borrow the share yargish b'ram the nus lo hergish etzanuah. The Russian put in us that we have a certain amount of instinct to take care of ourselves. The came in muskolus umidus shehem atzmius tzuras adam. There are certain thought processes which we tend to lean towards. And there are certain midas that we tend to lean towards. The Bereshit created the world. He gave man his needs. Okay, we need to breathe. The Bereshit made air available everywhere you have to go. We need to drink. Water is exceedingly available. You need to eat, not as much as you need to drink. It's less available. Right? Well, I need to function as a human being. The Bereshit created me. So he must have given me the thought processes and the nature which will allow me to function. So he says he did. So it's we have to assume the same way the Bereshit gave the physical needs, he gave these needs as well. So Bereshit gave us an inclination towards acting properly. I once had a conversation with a person who wasn't from. He says that, you know, I don't really need to learn the Torah because I have a certain very strong moral compass of right and wrong. So I said, where do you think that came from? Like, why? Well, it's everybody thinks like that. You know, it's okay, Western society thinks like that. Where'd that come from? It came from the Bible. Right? But he's saying, besides that, it said, but the Bereshit did us a favor. It's, the Ramchal says a different place also. He says, Bereshit, if I'm going to have to absorb this body of knowledge as not as an extracurricular activity, but that's what my life is about, logic dictates that Bereshit should have created that me and this thing fit. So he gave me a mind which is inclined towards the thought processes of the Torah. Give me a mind which is not inclined at all would not be a very intelligent way of doing it. So Bereshit created. So there's a reason why we tend to have ideas of right and wrong, and they seem to align with the Torah. So besides the acculturization of it, the Bereshit made our bodies like that. He made our minds like that. That's what he's saying. Bereshit gave us Shehem Atzmi Surah Adam. Not only Hachrechi B'Yeretz Adam Halach Mishorim V'Yakim Rechusam. The Bereshit gave us what's necessary to be able to go straight. The Bereshit made us sensitive. We have a tendency towards being sensitive and being aware of feelings, etc. And we prefer what's right. I don't want to hurt somebody else. We're inclined that without moralizing based on the Bible, it's not right to steal from somebody. Why? Because it's not right. You'll get a conversation like that, you know. And I said, why is it not right? Like, the Bereshit made us that we're inclined towards that reality that comes naturally to us. And I'll just take it a step right there. If you look at the animal kingdom, it's not like that. Like, you know, animals grab from each other all the time. The lion grabs, you know, the jackal grabs the killer lion, takes it from the jackal, and takes the jackal also, sometimes also. But then, right? Like, just because you killed it, if it's yours, like, you know, excuse me, I'll take it to diary. Like, you know, it's not mine. Like, you find by ants don't touch. Ants, well, once one ant is taken, touch the kernel, another ant won't touch it. They can smell it was touched by a different ant, they won't take it. So, because I'll say you can learn certain things from the Namola, you can learn Gezel from the Namola. An ant doesn't steal. Right? The only other animals, if all we are is that we came from animals, so why do we have this Hargasha? Where'd that come from? It's not survival of the fittest, it doesn't mean being nice to the next guy over. You know, the law of the jungle is called the law of jungle for a reason. It's, you know, animal, you know. Yeah. And the man who's the man who are in the jungle, it's man, it's my goal is survival, tough luck on you.
Right.
It's not, you know, yes, theoretically the purpose will come to a higher thought process, you know, we work together, we can, but it's not about you, it's about me. And the day that I realize that I can do better without you, goodbye. But that's not how we think. Right? We have an inclination towards that.
Yeah.
Okay. Because sure, you now. But there's times when our taiva blinds us. But if you remove that from the person, the natural instinct is we want to do the right thing. Okay. Therefore, when the person dies, we don't have the pressures from outside which are pushing us to do the wrong thing. We don't have the taiva. That's what causes the person to see and not see properly. Also, nefesh ba'atzma. So the nefesh itself realizes how bad what it had done. It doesn't have to be taught. It realizes, I can't believe I did that. I'm so embarrassed that I did that. It's so painful that I did that. Once you take away all of the things which are misleading us, blinding us, confusing us, we get the clarity. The person says, "What was I thinking?" And we see that this happens even in this world. The person does something wrong, and then afterwards he regrets it. I mean, how many stories they have? The person, you know, did an act of rage, attacked somebody, and then afterwards gave themselves in because they feel bad what they did.
Right.
Chazal say that the Rishoyim are constantly full of regret. Okay? Now, that exact Nusach is not a clear Chazal, such a Nusach anyway, but it's used by the. It's quoted a lot. Kikashay Yavar Ha'arev, once the sweetness which is enticing him is gone, which usually happens pretty quickly, Nefesh Toya, the person regrets it. See, it's our ass to keep enticing you, keep pressuring you, because otherwise you're not going to go that way. The natural instinct is not like that. Therefore, so the person in the Shema grapples with that pain itself. It realizes what it had done wrong in its lifetime, and it admits it to it. It doesn't, you know, it from the clarity where it's at, it doesn't want to deny it. It says, I wish I had done that, but that's what I did. I recognize I deserve to be dealt with accordingly, because the clarity of once you get take away that, right, oh my, what have I done? Let me correct it. Let me atone for it. Let me say it. So that's the way. So again, see the that this idea that the there is a basic thought process of the how the person is made, which is yasher, and that's not lost. It's just the Yetzer Hara throws taiva at it to distract it and pull it away, and then before it had the chance to correct it because it feels bad, it throws another taiva at the person, and so the whole lifetime is spent with that process. But the real world of machshava would allow a person the natural thought process of the person will take him back to the right thing. Just Rabbi Chanan says a fascinating thing, that there's a mitzvah of a person giving up the life of Kiddush Hashem. He says, so when does that chiyuv kick in? The person's 13 years old, bar mitzvah. He has the chiyuv of Kiddush Hashem. Says, how can you ask a bar mitzvah boy of 13 years old to be so clear about his conviction, to be willing to give up his life, when they're philosophers who spent their whole lifetime not figuring out what is the reality? So he said, the answer is it has to be, along the lines of what he's saying over here, that the natural instinct of the person is to see clearly that there's a creator, and the creator has a purpose. These are natural instincts of the person. So why don't we all see that? He says the same way a judge who gets a bribe judges incorrectly. So we're bribed. There's all these taivas which the world is enticing us with, which, well, if you believe X, Y, and Z, you can't get your taiva. Oh, I had intellectual pursuit and decided that those are not true anymore. Right? Come on. The root of the problem is not the intellectual pursuit and the intellectual thought process. The root of the problem is I couldn't honestly, intellectually accept this idea of a creator and that he has rules. Right? Because you have a taiva to want to do something else. That's what it's rooted in. So he says, if the Russian made our seichel grad, you can ask a 13-year-old to have that clarity. Right? Elamai what? Don't let yourself be bribed. That's the right. But if you take that all that away, the natural instinct of the person will, after he gets, you know, recovers, will turn towards. I saw a fascinating thing today. So they have this issue with now with the egalitarian area for prayer at the Kessel. So you saw that the minister, Miri Regev, resigned from her position rather than to implement that decision. She's the minister of culture, and so we under her, she would have to sign off on it. She's not from. She says, but my conscience can't let me sign into this thing. That the proper way to pray is men and women separate.
Really?
This is the tradition that we have, and I see that it's a different process. I once had a conversation with the guy. He says, like, what's wrong with me? I want to sit next to my wife, you know, when I pray. He says, I get you. We also sit next to somebody else's wife. That's the problem. The guy, to his credit, laughed and stopped there. Said, Rabbi, I get you. Like, you know, yes, you want to sit in a shul where there's nobody else there, there's no minion there, and you and your wife, Dominic, I don't have a problem. No, Dominic's each other, I don't have a problem with that. That's not the issue. The issue is that there is a group of men there who are that this is not their wife, and there's a group of women there that they're not your wife, and that's a problem. It's a distraction. So this woman, who's not from, had the natural instinct to understand that this is not right, and she, to the point where she resigned from her position in the cabinet. Like I was like, wow, a beautiful thing that person could do that. I'll tell you a beautiful, cute story. So my family's not from, but they're very, very extremely principled. Like, so I have three sisters. The middle sister, I'm the youngest. She's a good, I don't know, 8-10 years older than me. So she used to live in Cleveland. She was working for one of the big stockbroker firms. Her job was operations manager. She's operations manager for the whole Northeast Ohio, which means that everything which happened has to, any transactions, etc., have to be done according to all the federal laws, the state laws, and according to the internal rules of the company. That was her job, to make sure everything was done like that. She working for the company just shy of 5 years. 5 years you get, like, you know, certain rights in the company because you've been there for that long, etc., etc. She took a vacation the first time in 5 years. She goes to wherever she goes to. She calls into office the next day, you know, how's everything doing, just to check in. So one of the stockbrokers had left the firm and went to a different firm. And when that happens, he's going to take his clients with them, which is worth millions and millions of dollars to the company. So she says, oh, so-and-so, apparently in the language of it, he walked. Stan walked. He walked away from the company. Okay, so says so she thought, just, you know, I know what his accounts are. I know which people have the best phone presence to be able to, like, you know, so and so should get on the line, call these different players. She had it all worked out. She, you know, she figured it out on the spot. The boss, she was basically the only person on top of her was the person who was in charge of all of the. It was one of the national companies, you know, but that was the Northeast. Murdoch got it covered. Great. Okay, so she comes back a week later. Nothing had happened. So she starts looking into it, and the stockbroker offered the boss $500,000 to keep his mouth shut for a week. Don't do anything for a week. So by that time, the fellow's established in his new place. He's taken his clients with him for the most part. And then you can put on the records that, you know, you made the phone, you made attempts, it wasn't successful, you know, everything looks nice, etc. Right. My sister had nothing to do with it. Nothing doing. She's going to report this. So she shows up to my house one day, you know, just, you know, came by, and she says to me, I feel like I'm in the middle of a B-movie. I said, what happened? I said, she tells me the whole story. She says, I just got a phone call with it threatening my life. You know, if you really value your life, the whole thing, you know, the whole, I feel like I'm in the middle of a movie. But they were serious. They were threatening her life. Because, I mean, this fellow, the client, this is in 1984, 85. It was, the accounts are worth $42 million.
Wow.
You know, which nowadays is not a lot of money. You know, it's money, but not a lot of money. But then, in those days, it was a lot more money, you know. This is, you know, over 30 years ago. And so the end of the day, she lost her job. Either she would, the company did not want to make a major scandal out of it. They asked her to basically just back off. She says, I can't back off. It's not true. She lost her job. Because you wouldn't say, she wouldn't lie. And I was like, wow. You know, but that's, all my siblings are like that. Like, tremendous, very principled people. My sister visited my mother every single day. Every single day. For 5 years straight. My mother would yell at her and blame her and call her names and all of them. I said, why do you keep going? He says, she's my mother. I have responsibility for her. No, you know, we're given, they're not religious. I can't, you know, they believe in some sort of a god, you know, I don't, but they're not really, you know, they have no Yiddishkeit. But there is a natural instinct, if you don't allow yourself to grasp the world of Tiber, it's a natural instinct to see the right thing.